party time at the end zone, ladies and gentlemen. It is a beautiful day here in the Fandom Podcast Network studios. There's some sun in the air. There's a freshness about it.
Everything shut down because of COVID.
Well, you know, but that doesn't matter because, once again, the Kansas City Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. Kevin can't even say it. It's
all seriousness, congratulations for you, man. That's quite a feat to make it there twice in a row.
Yes, I'm very excited. But Kevin, it's a weird time for the Super Bowl. It's a weird Super Bowl for me. Now, if you listen to the Fandom Podcast Network, whether you listen to Endzone or some of our other shows, you know I live in the Tampa Bay area. So I've been down here for about 20 years. So the Bucs have kind of grown on me as the NFC team.
You and I have actually been to a Raiders-Tampa Bay game together. Yes.
So the Bucs have kind of grown on me. They're kind of the NFC team I've adopted and rooted for. But they're not Kansas City either. But never in my lifetime, Kevin, would I have suspected I would have seen a Bucs-Chiefs Super Bowl in Tampa Bay, no less. And one, because of COVID, I can't even go to events surrounding it.
Would you have gone anyway? I mean,
if I had a ticket, if somebody wanted to give me a ticket, I would have went. But we'll talk about.
No one would have given you a ticket, but would you have gone to, like, if you couldn't go to the game, would you have at least gone there to try to do some Super Bowl?
Yeah, I would have tried to like go to the NFL experience or something like that.
Right, right.
But yeah, it's crazy because you would think, oh, it's the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm excited for the game, but you don't have the energy of the Super Bowl either. And it's so strange. Now, the town I live in is actually about a 40-minute drive to Tampa. But there's been other years here where we've had the Super Bowl in Tampa, and there's just an energy throughout Tampa and all the surrounding areas. And how ironic is it that for the first time ever, the stadium where the Super Bowl is also the home stadium of one of the teams going to the Super Bowl, and yet it's a COVID year.
First time, and it's COVID.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not exactly the same, but it's like Raiders finally get a new stadium. What happens? Yeah.
I mean, think under normal circumstances how crazy the Tampa Bay area would be right now. Oh, yeah. It would be a party all week long. The city probably would shut down everything because nobody would be wanting to go to work. The Chiefs would.
So would have been Raiders home games in Vegas, you know?
The Chiefs would have been already in town already. Instead, they're flying in on Friday. It's just so strange, and it's such a weird.
Yeah, yesterday was media day, which would have been normally crazy, but it was Zoom day.
Yeah. Well, I need to give you an idea. The top story today regarding the Super Bowl was the fact that a barber the Chiefs hired who had passed 5 previous COVID tests was removed about 20 haircuts in because his last COVID test came back positive. Literally, one of the player's head is half shaved. He was in the middle of getting his haircut when they pulled him.
Oh, really?
Out. Yeah.
I heard about the barber story, but I hadn't heard that. But I heard because of a trace contact, that affects your center.
Yeah. He was the one getting
one of your wide receivers.
Yeah, a couple of wide receivers and the center.
Is there going to be enough time to pass?
Yeah, they do have enough time to pass. If it would have happened,
okay, good. It was like 5 days, right? And that was
it was Tuesday or something like. Yeah, but yeah, if it would have happened like today, nope, they would be out of the game. Yeah. Which would have been. I think that's the NFL that still is the NFL's worst nightmare, is that a can full of players are getting knocked out of this game because of COVID.
I find that ironic because the latest Patrick Mahomes commercial has him getting a haircut and a lot of other people getting the same haircut.
Yeah, I know. It is rather funny, but, you know, I'm looking at this and, you know, people have asked me, how excited are you for the game and stuff like that? And I truly am excited, but there is an energy that's just missing from the season because I think of COVID and just everything hanging over.
Yeah.
And Kevin, it's weird because now coming from the perspective of we won last year, and there was just an energy and excitement for that because I had never seen in my lifetime seen the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. And I'm not taking it for granted, but it's definitely a different energy this year for me. I'm not on pins and needles about it. I'm not like just constant tense energy. I'm just like, I'm excited. I can't wait. I'm rooting for Kansas City. I want him to win. I want to see Patrick Mahomes get his second ring. I want to see him take the title of the goat baton from Brady and start building his amazing career that's coming ahead. But it's weird. But I am so excited about the opportunity to make NFL history, becoming only the 10th team to win back-to-back Super Bowls. And, you know, again, with the aspect of I think that's part of it too, Kevin. For me, it was the strangest is the fact they are playing the Buccaneers, a team I've rooted for pretty strongly outside of Kansas City. They would probably be the team I would root for. So it's weird because I don't exactly have a hate for the team they're playing either.
Right.
You know, so it's interesting in that perspective, but I'm excited. I think too, as the weekend comes and I can really kind of gear into the game after a work week, then the excitement level is going to start building come like Friday night, Saturday.
I know you share your fandom with the Chiefs with your dad closely. Your dad is your fandom for the Chiefs go deep. It's not, you know, something you've just recently picked up. I mean, your dad is a Kansas City fan. Do you plan on watching?
Yeah, I am going to go over to my parents' house. It'll be me, my mom, and my dad, just the three of us, and watch the game with him. It's been hard because for those who haven't been listening, both my parents have had some health issues this year. So I try to be careful about COVID exposure, but they're both on the upswing now. And we're all been paying close attention to the protocols and everything like that. So we're going to get together for the game, have a nice evening out of it. Hopefully watch the Chiefs win, cool. You know, and like I said, it's just going to be an interesting vibe. But Kevin, I want to ask you, I mean, I know you could care. The last thing you want to see is the Chiefs repeat, but do you have this weird feeling? Like it doesn't really feel like Super Bowl.
No, it does. It's just the hype around it is just not comparable at all to what normally it is. And, you know, and it's a different for Raider fans. It's a little bit different as well for, and I'll get into that in a little bit, but there is some subdued, weirdness that's going on just because COVID shut so much stuff down and preventing so much stuff, you know, and, you know, all those people that would normally be playing together, you know, at the NFL experience and stuff like that. It's, you know, and it's, do you know if the halftime act, The Weeknd, the band guy or whatever,
The Weeknd. Yeah, as far as I'm aware,
is he actually playing there at the stadium? Or is he playing somewhere off?
I think he's playing at the stadium. I think that's what I have heard, but nothing confirmed on that. I guess that's one of the other weird things, Kevin. Too, is people can't really even get together and have Super Bowl parties this year.
Yeah, it's. So a question for you. I think from the talk radio and podcasts that I've been listening to, and even though I do listen to mostly Raider podcasts, the ones out of Las Vegas, they've been talking about the game a lot. They've had actually people from, you know, that represent Tampa Bay media and Kansas City media talking about it, giving their insight and all that kind of stuff. And it's been very, very quite interesting. And you know, a lot of people kind of making their picks. And the favorite seems to be Kansas City again going into this. How are you feeling about your team against the Bucs and the almighty GOAT himself, Tom Brady?
So this is an interesting question because, honestly, I had more confidence going into last year's Super Bowl than I did going into this year's Super Bowl. But there are a few reasons for that. Number one is some injuries Kansas City has. Both of their starting offensive tackles are not going to play in this game. Mitchell Schwartz has been out most of the season with a bad back. And then in the AFC Championship game, starting left tackle Eric Fisher tore his Achilles tendon. So what the Chiefs are doing is they're moving veteran tackle Mike Remmers, who's been playing right tackle most of the season, over to left tackle where he has plenty of experience there. I'm not so worried about that. But then they're moving guard Austin Wiley to right tackle, and then bringing in Stefan Wisniewski, who actually started for them at guard in last year's Super Bowl, into the starting lineup as a starting guard.
It seems like depth is not has not been a problem with the Chiefs as of late. So you always seem to have a backup, and you know, and there might have some, the Raiders had to bring in a lot of young people that did okay, yeah. you know, for the offensive line. Our offensive line was similar to where we had a lot of injuries and we would just bring the next man up, and they performed admirably well. But it seems like you guys have not had a depth problem. Someone always seems to step up and do a job.
Yeah. So. And the nice thing is, for the most part, all other position units are healthy. There's a couple other players. Rookie linebacker Willie Gay has made a really big impact this season because he's incredibly fast. He hurt his ankle in the conference round, and he missed the AFC Championship game, and in trying to come back, he tore meniscus in his knee, so he is out for this game.
Well, with that said, actually, since you brought up some, is it defense you brought up just now, right? Yeah. That was one of the big questions going into the game, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this because they think that what's going to make the difference is which defense is going to step up and play, hopefully, a near perfect game to make this thing. Because obviously, trying to blitz Mahomes is tough to do, and he excels at being blitzed because he can burn you big time. But when it comes to Brady, he's a pocket passer, and so if you can get to him, and that pocket collapses, that's a weakness. So they're kind of, you know, a lot of the analysts were saying, I think it's going to come down, you know, you guys both have great offenses, but it's going to come down to that defense. What do you think?
I agree with that to a point. What's amazing is in week 12, the Chiefs and Bucks played each other, and that was a game where Tyreek Hill had near 200 yards receiving in a quarter. And if that happens again, it's going to be a very long day for Tampa Bay.
Well, the Tampa Bay defense is playing a lot better since then. They've been playing playoff football, basically. They've been pretty
good. Yeah, no, so Tampa Bay.
Their defense seems to be bringing it up. So I think this is another thing that makes this game a lot more interesting is because your defense has been playing well.
We played that AFC Championship game like we played defense in the Super Bowl and the AFC Championship game last year. We're having some guys really step up. But that Buccaneers defense, there's some special guys on that defense. I want to point out especially Devin White, their first round pick from last year, who's just become a superstar linebacker on defense this playoffs. He has been all over the place. He killed the. He was almost a one man wrecking crew on defense against the Saints, and he had a huge game against the Packers. The big question, and this is where things get interesting, Tampa Bay, both of their starting safeties might be out for this game because of injuries. You really want to be down secondary members when you're going up against Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Patrick Mahomes.
They'll have almost 2 weeks to heal up. I think at least one of them will be
probably up. Antoine Winfield. Jordan Whitehead had a pretty serious shoulder injury, so they're not sure about his status yet. But I think for the most part, I think Tampa probably comes in a lot healthier than Kansas City at this point. But you know, I think with these two teams, you know, as great as Patrick Mahomes is, and I love Patrick Mahomes, you don't go against Brady in the Super Bowl.
Question outside of the game itself, what specifically are you looking forward to in the Super Bowl?
I'm looking forward to I don't think we've had in the Super Bowl for a few years now, and that's an offensive explosion in the Super Bowl. I think we're gonna have a lot.
I mean outside of the game itself, but you're right. There's definitely gonna be a lot of scoring in this game, I believe. although, didn't we think that when it came down to the Rams and New England, and that turned into what a 10-6 game?
Yeah, so one of the most boring Super Bowls ever.
But what I mean is outside of the game itself, whether it's the commercials or halftime or whatever. I mean, I know it's different because it's COVID. I mean, normally we would get teases to commercials. Yeah. They would be, showing bits of commercials like a movie trailer. And I haven't even been – all I've heard is that Wayne and Garth are going to be on.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about commercials. Usually the commercials are the thing I'm most excited about, especially what movie commercials we're going to get. But obviously – I can't get excited. It's hard to get excited about movie trailers at this point, just because.
Yeah, that's not
good. Hopefully there's some good commercials. I would think maybe some places might try to go all out on some commercials because they know that nobody's going to be doing anything else but watching TV. But, you know, it's like right. I said, you can't really have a Super Bowl party, big get-togethers for anything like that. So it's just weird. But yeah, I guess I'm hoping for some good ads, some fun ads. But ultimately, I'm hoping for a great game.
Two final questions for you, and they're related. One, what's your score prediction? And two, who do you think is
going to
win?
Well, I think the Chiefs will win. I think it is going to be the official passing of the baton from Brady to Mahomes. I do think that the final score, you're probably looking at maybe 38-35, somewhere around in that general vicinity. I think this is the kind of game that literally could come down to which quarterback has the ball in his hands last, with these two quarterbacks. I have a question for you about this, though, Kevin. Because a lot of stuff, obviously the big storyline of this Super Bowl is Brady versus Mahomes. But my question is this. Take a minute and think. Do you think in Super Bowl history, this is the best quarterback matchup we have ever had?
Yeah, it's like the old guard and the new guard type thing. You know, it's got all that. I'd have to do a little more history on that. On first response, it feels like yes, it is.
Because there's only couple others I can think of that you could put up there with just the history of it.
Okay.
And they were both actually in the 80s. 89, or actually, I guess that was not, was that 90, the 90? The Montana, the 49ers versus the Broncos when it was Montana versus Elway.
Yeah, but Elway hadn't won Super Bowl.
But still, it was still John Elway. Yeah. And even going back to, I think, the Stan Marino's when it was Dolphins, 49ers, Montana versus Marino.
You have to put it closer to something if both quarterbacks had actually won a Super Bowl.
Well, but Marino was coming.
Has that happened before?
Not.
Marino had played and lost in one, but not won.
Yeah, but
one.
He was coming off. He was coming off an MVP season.
What about the Pittsburgh and Russell Wilson?
Roethlisberger Wilson.
Yeah.
No, that was wasn't Russell Wilson. It was Matt Hasselbeck.
Oh, that's right.
Brady Wilson in that one in the Super Bowl where.
Okay, there you go. They had both won a Super Bowl, so yeah that might have been a close one. But I that's a good question. I would have to say I can't think what else might kind of eclipse it. So yeah,
now,
so definitely.
Can I bring up something here, Kevin? That you told me that you have some particular Super Bowl plans.
Oh, okay. Well, before I get to that, a lot of people through Raider Nation are very kind of torn about this.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought this up.
And there's like, you know, there's that old, remember that game you would play when you were a kid? You know, what would you do? Is it this or this? And you're like, I don't know. Like, what if you had a gun to your head?
Wait, let me ask you. Is this almost worst case scenario for Raider fan?
Yes, it is. This is the, yet last year was bad because, you know, there's obviously a lot of Raiders that hate the Niners. Yeah. And so that was bad. But this is the worst Super Bowl for any outcome. Raiders
because you either got
because of the history not with just Tampa, AB, Tom Brady, Tuck Rule, Tom Brady, and of course, you know, the Chiefs, same division, you got to hate the Chiefs, blah 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 blah. And so I've seen a lot of back and forth between Raider fans, like, you got to hate the Chiefs, you know, because it's the Chiefs. If you're in the same division, you have to hate them. It's a rule, it's a law. And then people making arguments for Tampa Bay for obvious reasons, you know, and reasons to root for Tampa Bay, even though you shouldn't like what's going on with the situation in the 2002 Super Bowl and all that and what that led to and all that kind of stuff. So for me, I can't even choose. It's that bad for me. You know, I just can't, you know, I mean, I can't say, because there's just so many good arguments for both sides. I know some people saying it has to be the Chiefs. Well, yeah, I mean, it's not good for sure. You know, it's like, well, you could root for the Chiefs because, you know, hey, at least you beat them during the regular season. And it's like, you know, so there's all this back and forth. And it's like, and we hate AB, you know, even though technically he wasn't a Raider because he didn't play a Raider.
He ruined he killed your team out of the gate.
And he made a mockery of that offseason too, and was on film, which sucks. And now he's on a possibility of getting a Super Bowl. But by the way, just real quick, if your team does win, Brady would join another quarterback in losing four Super Bowls.
Four Super Bowl. Who's Jim Kelly?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, the greatest team that never won a Super Bowl.
What's that?
The greatest team that never won a Super Bowl.
Yes, this is true. So to answer your question, I'm not rooting for either, and I can't pick one or the other. That's just, to me, there's just too much on that Tampa Brady side, AB side, that hurts me. And then the whole thing with the Chiefs and stuff. So if there's one thing that I am rooting for to a certain degree, is if Bruce Arians gets a Super Bowl, I will be happy for him, because I like Bruce Arians.
Well, and I think as much as you may not even say so, I think you can stomach Patrick Mahomes a little more than you can Tom Brady.
it's tough, man. It really is. I mean, I was going to say something else regarding that, but what was your other question?
Well, I was bringing up the point that you have some plans that you were telling me about for Super Bowl Sunday to kind of counteract this worst case scenario.
Well, tomorrow night, actually, Murph from Raiders Fan Radio and I and our fellow made men, Aaron, the Q Dog Raider Capo, we're going to be recording a Star Wars only special to protest the Super Bowl. So we're going to be doing that, and that's going to be releasing soon after. I know that several of those guys are going to be watching some old Raider games and having people, you know, watch it live stream with them and such. I think it was through Twitch or whatever. But I'm actually officially protesting the Super Bowl. I will not be watching the Super Bowl. I have a couple ideas for a marathon-y type stuff. Might check in with the Puppy Bowl. We'll see what's going on with that. But for the first time in my future, or in my past, whatever you want to say, lifetime of actually watching Super Bowls, I will not, for the first time, not be watching one. So I'm sure I'll get updates on my phone and people talking on social media, but I am not going to be watching this Super Bowl.
It's just too painful for Raider fan. I understand. Yeah. I understand.
A lot of Raider fans are watching it. A lot of my friends are watching it, but this is a personal choice for me. I know Murph's going to be watching it because, you know, well, people say, well, you're an NFL fan, you should watch it. I'm like, true, but not for me. I'm an NFL fan and I choose not to watch it. So there you go.
Just so we have some positive Raider stuff for you, Kevin, because I know this is a very hard show for you to do. But I do want to give you a chance to talk about something as we're recording this that comes on in a little less than an hour on ESPN that you are very excited about.
Yeah, a documentary that ESPN 30 for 30 is doing. They are doing a documentary called Al Davis versus the NFL. And this is something a lot of people actually are looking forward to, just because NFL history is always a big fan, big thing with NFL buffs and such. So, this is going, this is covering in detail of Al basically not only helping to shape what the NFL is now, which a lot of people forget, and how he, you know, in his way, did it his way the best that he could, but he had to fight the NFL through many lawsuits. Of course, what's this commissioner's name again?
Pete Rozelle.
Pete Rozelle did not have a good relationship with that guy, and they fought tooth and nail, and they hated each other. And so lawsuit after lawsuit, whether it's how stuff should be run, or Al trying to, you know, for years wanting to get a new stadium and being pushed back so many ways, and he never got his wish while he was alive, unfortunately. Son was able to pull it off, which is great. But Al Davis versus the NFL. Getting some interesting, from what I hear, it's going to be a very interesting way it's portrayed. It's going to shed some light on Al himself and the contributions that he has made to the NFL that people forget.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this, even though it is something with the Raiders. But I am a big fan of NFL history, and this is a big piece of NFL history.
The NFL would not be what it is today if it wasn't.
Oh, no.
And people that hate the Raiders don't want to admit that. And this hopefully will shed light on
it. If you really honestly stop and think about it, three of the most important owners in NFL history were owned teams in the AFC West. Al Davis, obviously. Lamar Hunt was a huge, huge part of the AFL getting to the merging with the NFL, and was always considered one of the class owners in the league. And Pat Mullen, too, of the Broncos, was a very influential owner as well. So, and all those were old school style owners. So it was an interesting time when all three of those guys were going at it in the AFC West. But you know what? This is the end zone. We have some NFL news to talk about besides the Super Bowl and what's going on. Because it's going to be one of the more interesting off seasons in the NFL, Kevin. Because I think we're going to have the largest QB carousel we've had in a very long time.
Oh yeah, a lot of teams need QBs.
Oh, and there's a lot of QBs who want to be in different places. But the first piece of that puzzle dropped last weekend, and actually, what I thought was a very surprising trade. We all knew Matthew Stafford wanted out of Detroit. Him and Detroit had talked and agreed to mutually find a way to part ways. However, I don't think anybody saw this coming, as Matthew Stafford was traded from the Detroit Lions to the LA Rams for Jared Goff, two first-round picks, and a third-round pick. First of all, I didn't think the Rams had any draft picks left after all the transactions they've made between the Jalen Ramsey trade.
They haven't had a first-round draft pick since 2016,
which
I think.
Which is ridiculous in its own merit.
And they will not have one until 2024.
Yep. I actually really like this trade for the Rams. I think Stafford is an upgrade over Jared Goff. I think getting out of Detroit and getting with somebody like McVay is going to be a big boon for him. I think Jared Goff had kind of pinnacled, and I think he's probably actually going to be on a downstream a little, and you know, we'll go to obscurity in Detroit, Kevin.
Yeah, until someone not named Ford is not running that team. Yeah,
I don't see that happening anytime soon. But I got to give Detroit credit. I think they actually win the trade in the aspect of they get a bunch of draft picks.
So when that was done, a lot of people were saying, oh, man, you know, they get Stafford and they've, you know, the Lions fleece them with all these picks. And, you know, and then I heard, well, they've got this, the Rams have got this team that's ready to win now. They just were missing the quarterback to lead this team and blah, blah, blah. And I started doing a lot of thinking. I've kind of changed my mind on the value of, and this had a lot to do with what Sean McVay's thinking is and the people that run the Rams. And Sean McVay was quoted in saying, if you know, you know. The fans don't know, but people that are in the NFL know. And the fans think they know. We think that we know. You know, we think we need to think know what's going to happen. But, you know, when you're on the inside and, you know, you do your due diligence and you are where you are within the NFL or whatever position you have. And when it comes to the value of first-round draft picks, as of late, many owners and coaches, to a certain degree, think that they're overrated now. And that if you have a team that is pretty well put together and you're just missing a few little pieces, like the Rams are, their defense is good, their offense is good. They are a Super Bowl competitive team. They almost made it, okay, this year. That giving up first-round draft picks, when you think about the picks that they've had that weren't first-round that also paid off, their mind frame is that number ones are overrated, because if you look over the last, let's say, 10 years, even sooner, 5 years, first-round draft picks aren't as reliable as you would think that they would be or would pan out or pay off as soon as you want them to be. There's been a lot more hits past the second, third, and fourth round. Aaron Donald wasn't a first round
pick. Oh, yeah, he was top five pick.
Was he? Maybe it was someone else I was thinking of, but yeah, that's right. You're right. Yeah, it was Aaron Donald. But there was someone else. There's some so a bunch of other people they were talking about, but because you know, and I look at my Raiders. You know, we've had 5 first round draft picks in a certain amount of time, and only one of them right now is a surefire pick, and that's Josh Jacobs. The other ones are still up in the air right now. But it's like I'm beginning to kind of go along with that. I think that was a very smart thing that they gave up that draft capital to get what the big piece that they needed going forward, assuming no one, of course, gets hurt and stuff. What do you think?
I think in the Rams case, you're right, because I think the Rams know if they don't do it this year or next year, it doesn't matter who's there. Their window is going to get shut, because I think it's either after this season or after next season, they're predicted to be $80 million over the salary cap.
Right.
So that team is going to get disassembled, because there's no way they're paying huge money to Aaron Donald. They were paying huge money to Jared Goff. Getting that contract off their books is actually a big thing, but they're also paying huge money to Jalen Ramsey. And they've got a lot of other guys that are making some big bucks. They're going to have some very tough decisions to make over the next couple of years.
Yeah. They did that thing. So, but I think that was an interesting concept that, first round picks are nice, but, they might be a little overrated.
Here's my thinking on it. I think top 10 picks are still very valuable. I think 10 to 15 have value, but where you're talking about where the Rams are going to pick in that last probably 8 picks or so, then you're talking like, really, is it any better than a...
Which is why they gave those up. Because, they're not getting the cream of the crop stuff right there. They're getting probably some good players that might be good. But if you're out of the top 15...
You got to flip it a little bit, too. I mean, I'll use my Chiefs as an example. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was the 32nd pick. He was their first-round pick. So, you know, it's some of it is how your personnel department works. But I think it's a very interesting thing for the Rams, and I think it was the right move for the Rams, because I think they had reached, as like I said, I think Jared Goff had reached his apex, and I think Matthew Stafford has another level getting out of the toxicity of Detroit and what that situation is, and getting to a guy who really knows offense and having some real offensive weapons around him. Did you know in the 10, 11 seasons Matthew Stafford has played for the Detroit Lions, in only 12 games have they had a 100-yard rusher? In all that time, that's ridiculous. Yeah,
they have not given him the pieces that he should have had.
But it leads to another interesting concept, the quarterback carousel that's going on. Obviously, we have a huge piece that's out there that's looming over everything else in the league right now, and that is Deshaun Watson. Now, the Texans really don't want to trade him. I think he's put him in a situation where he will hold out and not show up if he doesn't get traded.
Yeah, he wants out big time.
We also have Carson Wentz, who wants out of Philadelphia. I have some thoughts of where he could end up, but I think Deshaun Watson kind of holds up a lot of things that would happen in the offseason until he moves. Now, personally, just from what I see of the landscape right now, I think he ends up either in Miami or New York, because they have the most to offer Houston, and they both could really use – we're not sold on –
But the thing is, he has the final say.
Yeah, but he has
he has a no trade clause. So does he want to go to those two teams? I could see. I've heard rumors that he wouldn't mind Miami, but I don't know if he wants to go to New York.
I actually heard that he is interested in the Jets because, one, he really likes Robert Saleh, their new head coach, and I guess.
But it's the Jets. And
the Jets have a ton of cap space to make moves, and that their new GM, who was hired before last season, Joe Douglas, who came over from the Eagles, has really got... And here's the other thing. The New York Jets the last 3 years have been run not by the actual owner, but by the owner's brother, because Woody Johnson has been over in Ireland as a... He was a special liaison to Ireland under the previous presidential regime. He is back, and Woody Johnson has already said he's all in on making the Jets better. So I think there could be a culture change going on with the Jets, but I think it's the Jets or Miami. Are you
too big of a risk for Deshaun to take to do that? I don't see that happening. Too big.
Well, yeah, I the only other teams I could see getting him, but I don't think they have the capital to. I could see the Chicago Bears making a run at him. There's a lot of teams that could use Deshaun Watson, unless you're putting out Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes. You pretty much could probably use Deshaun Watson as your quarterback.
New England.
I don't think he wants to go to New England. I think Matthew Stafford said he would have went to 31 of Are 30 of the other 31 NFL teams besides Detroit, the one team he said I will not go to is the New England Patriots. I think people are bailing on the Patriots, especially after seeing what Tom Brady has done after he has left New England. So, but Kevin, it brings up a lot of things because all of a sudden in this QB shuffle, I have heard Derek Carr's name a lot. And obviously Derek Carr is probably the biggest hot button topic for the LA, for the Las Vegas Raiders. Now,
yeah,
I have heard rumors that the Raiders might be looking to move Derek Carr so they can get in on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes.
Do you have an idea of where that started?
I have a few ideas. I've seen several people talk about it, but I know you have inside info with all your Raiders connections. So educate the listeners.
Your response is the same as not just the rest of NFL fandom or NFL media, but also a lot of Raider fans who have not written have not read the original article that dropped on February 2nd, Monday, by Las Vegas Review Journal and also host of In the Huddle, one of the Raider podcasts on the Raider Nation Radio Network, by Vincent Bonsignor. He wrote an article. And by the way, Vinny, as we call him, Vinny Bonsignor, is a respected and really good writer, does his due diligence. He actually used to cover the Rams, so he knows the Rams very well. He had an interesting take on that whole thing with the trade with the Lions. He's one of those guys that does his homework. He's one of those guys that people go to him to get his take on things, and because he's very well informed, he doesn't make snap judgments and stuff like this. And he wrote an article that people aren't reading and kind of just reading the headline and coming up to their own conclusions and listening to this national narrative that started about how the Raiders are shopping Derek Carr, when that's actually not what is happening. The article that Vinny wrote was that Vinny speaks with a lot of people throughout the NFL. And what's really cool is that he will, if he has to, he can back it up. But part of being a sports writer and getting information that is valid is not necessarily saying who it is so they can feel comfortable talking to you again. But he has talked with several owners and also head coaches of other and CEOs and stuff like that, general managers, about Derek Carr, because he's always a hot button topic, especially with Raider fans. And apparently other owners and general managers and coaches from other teams, and he didn't say his exact number, but he said, definitely quite a few think that, especially after this last season, because of Derek's season high numbers, and he is a top 10 quarterback. I think he was number 9 or 10, which makes him top 10 with his statistics and how well he was doing in yards and touchdowns and blah, 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 that he's actually a very sought after commodity that other teams are looking at. And so that means that this whole thing with Deshaun Watson, and if Deshaun Watson shows interest in wanting to come here, these are things that would have to happen if that's the case. But what's funny is that he never said that the Raiders were actually shopping Derek Carr, but the Raiders would be ill-informed or not smart to listen to any offers, especially after Mike Mayock has said, we will always be looking to improve any position on our team going forward. And he said this as soon as he was hired, you know, and he's been saying this over and over again. So there's a difference between entertaining offers as opposed to going out and saying, hey, do you want our quarterback? This is what we would like. And that's not what the Raiders are doing. But the fact that he is a proven commodity, and there's a lot of programs that would love to have him, and saying that he might work in there and stuff. So there's a possibility that the Raiders are entertaining offers for people that are searching them out and saying. Now, this whole thing with Deshaun Watson saying, for what the cost to get him would probably be like 4 first-round picks and maybe a proven player, whether it's on the offense or defense or whatever, that it would have to involve another team in a 3-way trade because the Raiders don't have that capital and the player to do this like this. So it would have to be like, you know, Raiders would have to give up their first round things. And then and the other team would have to give up. And then, you know, Deshaun then would come to the Raiders and Derek Carr might go wherever and so on and so forth. But the article specifically says it's not that the Raiders are shopping him, it's that Derek Carr is a hot commodity right now, whether you like him or not. And so every time the offseason happens with the Raiders, Derek Carr's name always comes up because he's very polarizing figure between Raider fans because there's a definitive line. There's people that don't like him, and there's people that do, and they're very, very opinionated on their side of the fence, kind of like Star Wars fans are about The Last Jedi.
Well, no, and I agree with this, and I think when you're throwing,
did I make that clear? Yeah, I wasn't sure if I was.
Yeah, I think you made it very clear. I think when you're throwing the name Deshaun Watson out, anything is possible because who wouldn't? Like I said, except for maybe 2 teams in the league, who wouldn't kill to have Deshaun Watson? But I will say this for Derek Carr: I think there's at least of 32 teams in the NFL. I think at least 22. Of those teams would consider Derek Carr an upgrade over what they currently have.
I mean, he's not an elite quarterback like Deshaun is probably considered, and Deshaun would be an upgrade. He is better, he moves with his feet more and so on and so forth. So, but it's like I said, just to clarify, that article was not saying the Raiders were shopping Carr. It's that they were probably entertaining offers and listening to offers and that they would be smart to do so whether they plan to move him or not. And right now they just said today that they extended Nathan Peterman's contract for another year. So
I want to know what blackmail stuff Nathan Peterman has on either Mayock or Gruden.
They seem to like him. So, I mean, he knows the system as well. The whole big question right now is whether or not we're going to be keeping Mariota because it's going to cost, I think, close to $10 million to keep as a backup. If he is going to be a backup.
So, well, and that's going to be an interesting thing to play out because right now the salary cap is going to be a problem for a lot of teams because it's expected to drop down to $175 million because of everything that's happened with COVID.
Someone was saying we wouldn't know till March. And I'm like, you should know right after the Super Bowl, like what the cap is, so teams can start planning for that. I mean, I know free agency doesn't hit till March too. Yeah. Why isn't free agency like right after the Super Bowl? I don't get it.
Who knows? And especially, I think with the COVID situation as it is now, they got to figure that out. But that's neither here nor there. Yeah. I think the other QB that really is going to be kind of one of the ones that will change how teams react is Carson Wentz. I think Carson Wentz is in desperate need of a change of scenery. I do think he's still a good quarterback. I think he needs to end up with the Indianapolis Colts and back with Frank Reich, who, when he was the offensive coordinator of the Eagles, had Carson Wentz playing at an MVP level.
Right.
So
there's some more talk that if Carr gets traded to, that might be one of the teams that does it as well. You know, so it's Washington needs a quarterback. Carolina.
I want to see Washington.
Chicago.
I want to say something real quick. I want to see Washington stay with Heinicke. And see what that see if they are willing to take a risk and see what they got with that kid.
No, he's an interesting thing. Keep him as a backup. So,
but anyway, Kevin and I
like the guy.
Yeah, I like to see him get at least a fair shot. Kevin and I are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the future of the end zone.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We like to continue to feed your ears by inviting you to listen to the Fandom Podcast Network and all of the other awesome shows we have to offer. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture news podcast. Blood of Kings, our Highlander podcast. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating our favorite movies. Time Warp, the Fandom Flashback Podcast, discussing a year in movies and our favorite pop culture topics. End Zone, the NFL Podcast. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock Podcast. Union Federation, our Star Trek and Orville Podcast. Hair Metal, the 80s and early 90s rock metal podcast. Type 40, our Doctor Who Podcast. Lethal Mullet, a 1980s and 90s action film podcast. What a Piece of Junk, a Star Wars podcast. And our newest show, Making Treks, a new Star Trek podcast with a deep dive into the final frontier with host Mark Newbold and Adam P. O'Brien.
You can enjoy all of these great Fandom Podcast Network shows on our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. Fandom Podcast Network is also on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Facebook under Fandom Podcast Network. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter under Fandom Podcast Network. Thank you for listening, and remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Hey, we're back, and hopefully you've been enjoying our Super Bowl coverage, but, you know, we need to address the end zone here, Kevin, because it's been a weird season. Obviously, we didn't have end zones every week this week, and we actually have dropped off of it. And
we've also been very busy with other programming during the fall.
And it comes to this in a couple of things. Kevin and I, as the co-founders of the Fandom Podcast Network, had serious discussions about this because The End Zone was one of our early founding shows. And we do have a passion for football. However, a combination of things, I think, Kevin, is one, both of us have had a hard time really getting into this recent football season. I think a large part of that is due to COVID and how it's affected the game and things like that. But there's also
Affected fantasy too. We just weren't excited for it and stuff. But you know, we were still excited for our teams. Yeah.
And also too, we are entering year 5 of the Fandom Podcast Network, and things evolve, things grow, and we've got some new ideas that we want to try. But we can only do so much, and we can only bring in. We have other people who contributed to this network, and they do a wonderful job. But you know, when it comes to being the end zone, it kind of feels like, you know, something special because Kevin and I started it together. But we have to have the passion. We have to have the time for it. And the problem is,
well, I mean, it's, you know, if you think about it, you know, you edit and do some producing, and I produce and write notes and do stuff. And it's very time consuming, especially when you're doing it for free and you're supposed to be doing it for fun, you know? So it's like, when we were getting crunched during the football season, there was like new Star Trek programming. There was this, there was that, you know. And then we had Mandalorian coming in and everything. And it was like, so we had so much stuff that we had to do, and as well as, you know, get our normal programming out. We were a little in over our heads.
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. And don't get us wrong, we love the end zone. We love talking football. It was tough this year. It was tough with COVID. It was just, the energy wasn't the same. And, you know, I'll be the first to say, you know, I apologize to listeners, because we do try to put our top best energy into everything we do, because we want to have a passion about it. We want the listeners to be a passionate about it. But which has led us with all of this, Kevin, to make a decision about the future of the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, it's we can't do a weekly show. Let's just put it that way. We did talk about just doing some specials from time to time, and we may still do that. But as a weekly show, I think it's done until if there's someone else that wants to step up and do it. But we can't keep it going weekly during the football season. Yeah.
What we're hoping to, is like Kevin said, is to do some specials. You know, maybe do a draft special or an off season special, do a season preview special, and maybe, you know, a mid-season special and a Super Bowl special. But trying to do it weekly with the amount of things that are in fandom these days, and other things Kevin and I want to do, and we don't want to do a program where we feel like we're half-assing it. Let's be honest.
Yeah, we don't want to half-ass it. And with all the streaming stuff that was happening during the thickness of COVID during the fall, you know, and late summer and all that kind of stuff, when football season was starting to get kicking there, it was tough, yeah. Man. It really was.
And let's be honest, we have limited resources. I was starting to go a little insane with editing. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I was getting burnt out too, you know, so yeah.
But we love football, and we're never going to say never that the end zone might come back in a weekly format at some point, whether it's with some new voices or things change around here, or Kevin and I kind of get an energy for football again. But for now, the end zone is going to be kind of, maybe, like I said, just some special episodes here and there, because I don't want to not talk football.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, we're going to get it. it's whether it is free agency. Usually, like, free agency is a topic to cover, and the draft is a topic to cover, and you know, before the season starts, that type of thing. So we're gonna dip into the end zone pool. It just won't be the weekly show. Yeah.
But you know what?
At least that's the plan for now. That might change. We'll see. But you know, with our new, you know, True Believers Marvel MCU podcast and some other stuff in the horizon, we got our hands full, and you know, we've got some great contributors to the shows here on the Fandom Podcast Network, and until we get more and kind of figure out where we are, we got to kind of limit the end zone and make it more sporadical, I guess. Sporadic.
Yeah, it's sporadic when it comes out, but special when it comes out too, and make it a
exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah. But with that too, I want to thank everybody who's been listening on a weekly basis. I know that a lot of you out there have enjoyed what we've done. We will still always trademark the mediocre fantasy football advice, though. So, that will always always be there, whether we have it weekly as a special in our season preview. We might throw in a little mediocre fantasy football draft advice at that time, but you know what? It's been fun to do. I love the NFL. I love having our back and forth as Chiefs versus Raiders and the rivalry there, and we have some fun with it. And it's been fun to do this show, and we hope that we've given you something NFL wise that you can enjoy. And like I said, we're not completely disappearing with the end zone. We're just going to place it when we need it.
Yeah.
So with that, everybody have a great Super Bowl Sunday. Hopefully on Monday I will be posting, or Sunday night, Monday morning, I will be posting some great social media about back-to-back Super Bowl champs. And Kevin might not want to speak to me for a few weeks because he won't be able to stand me. But I thank you to all you amazing listeners out there. Everybody have a safe Super Bowl weekend, whether you're just watching it yourself, getting together with a small group of people, whatever. Enjoy the game. And hopefully this time next year, we can be all fans at Super Bowl parties together.
I know. I miss those days.
So with that, for now, we're going to deflate the ball a little. Let's wait till after the Super Bowl for that. Tom Brady doesn't need to have any deflated balls around him. I'm in Tampa. But we are going to close up the locker room and enjoy a little offseason and enjoy, but we want you to enjoy other great things going on around the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, you can find the Fandom Podcast Network at our master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. Of course, also our YouTube channel where we've been broadcasting AN Zone live this season. You can find me, Kyle, on social media at AKyleW on Twitter or on Instagram, AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you on social media?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And of course, the Fandom Podcast Network page you can find on Facebook, as well as follow us on Twitter at FanPod Network. Again, thank you to everybody out there. For now, we're putting the clipboard down. We're closing up the lock, cleaning out the locker, closing it up. And we hope for one more time, we'll take you on a great trip into the end zone.